You a sheet just in case you didn't bring your Bibles. I have some notes that I put together for this message today, which I pray will be a blessing to you. It's on so the title of the lesson is You Don't Look Like Your Picture. And let me just tell you the point of the title. It'll probably be a two-part series. We'll probably finish it next week. But the thing that I was trying to focus on today is Peter was in a situation where he didn't look like his picture. And I think sometimes we don't look like our picture. And people don't recognize who we are all the time. And so hopefully this message will encourage us to look like Jesus, whether we're in church or not in church, amen? That we just want to find a way to look like our picture. We should be a picture. We should be an image of Jesus, amen? This is yellow mic. You just give me a little bit more volume just so I don't have to work quite as hard. So let me just read this to you, and then we'll talk about it for a few minutes, and we'll let you go. So in Luke 22, the reason that you see several passages here from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is that I harmonize all four gospels to paint. I harmonize, that's beautiful. I harmonize all four gospels. Am I still on camera, Marcus? Because I moved up a little bit. Okay, I'm still on. Okay, good. I harmonize the gospels because I wanted to give you guys a broad view, real quickly, a broad view of this situation that Peter dealt with the night that Jesus was arrested before his crucifixion. We're in crucifixion season. Today is Palm Sunday. This coming Friday is Good Friday. And that's about the time Jesus was arrested to go to Calvary. In the wee hours of the morning, between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m., Jesus was accosted by the Roman, well, actually, they were Jewish soldiers. He was escorted to Caiaphas's home, actually Annas' home first. He went from Annas' house to Caiaphas's house to Pilate to Herod, back to Pilate to Calvary. There were six trials, six hearings in one night, which was against all the legal laws of the Jews and the Romans. It was unfair and illegal to be tried before dawn. It was illegal to be tried multiple times for the same crime. It was illegal to have a private hearing without the entire Sanhedrin court present. And it was illegal to execute a prospect or a suspect that was not committing a capital crime. The Jews could not execute anyone. They had to get the Romans involved and complicit with this particular situation. So here's what happened in Luke 22. I'm going to be going back and forth between the King James Version and the New Living. So here's what it says, 22:54. So they arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home. That's Annas's complex, which was somewhere outside of Jerusalem or near Jerusalem. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire, John 18 says it was of charcoals, in the middle of the courtyard, and they sat around it, and Peter joined them there. So I just imagine, this beautiful property back here. I just imagine, just say there was a home back here, and out in front of the home in the yard, there were some wood, some trees. They lit a charcoal fire because it was early spring, April or March, and they were very cold. It was very early in the morning, and we're good to see Sister Vera. And so they were just warming up around the fire, and Peter came and he joined the crowd that was sitting around the fire. And the Bible says that a servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. And the Bible says in the King James Version, the young lady earnestly looked at Peter. And finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. And Mark 14, the Bible says, but Peter denied it. Said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he went out into the entryway, and just then a rooster crowed.
So I'm going to jump down to Matthew 26, 71. That's on your sheet if you don't have your Bible. But if you have your Bible, Matthew 26, 71 and 72 says, later out by the gate, another servant girl noticed Peter and said to those standing around, this man was with Jesus. John 18, 26 actually adds, but one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off, asked, didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus? And verse 72 says, again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. He said, I don't even know the man. And he said, essentially, I swear to God, or as God is my witness. That's what it means that he used an oath. By the way, you shouldn't swear. According to James 5:12, says, do not swear. That means do not make a statement that you can't back up. It basically says, let your yea be yea, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. You know, you don't have to say things like, I swear to God, I was there. Or if God is my witness, I'll be there on time. Don't do that. Bible says, don't do that. Just say, I'll be there on time, or I was there. And so Peter starts swearing, not cursing yet, just swearing. It's a difference. And so the Bible goes on to say in Matthew 26, a little later, and Luke tells us it's about an hour later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. But Peter began to curse and swear, I do not know this man you are talking about. Luke 22 adds this, ladies and gentlemen. It says, and at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered that the Lord had said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Kind of a sad story in that area, especially when the Lord had prophesied to Peter, had told Peter, it wasn't really a prophecy, it was just a statement of fact, that you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. And Peter did it. And you know what's amazing to me? You would think that if you know you're going to do something, you know the Lord has told you you're going to do it, don't do it. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But we do it all the time. A lot of times you hear that voice inside your head saying, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't respond to that little snide remark she made, or don't respond to that, you know, provocation that he made to try to get you to do something or say something. We hear those voices, right? And sometimes we just blow right through it. Well, Peter did it, and he did it in a really bad time. I mean, if the Lord ever needed him, he needed him right now. And I just can imagine just using my imagination to look at that early morning, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., Jesus is being questioned and grilled and accused and lied on and smacked around and beaten. And Peter is out there cursing and swearing and denying him. And the Bible says on the last one that the Lord just looked over, like, can you imagine that look? And like, Peter, I hear you. I see you, dude. I've tried to imagine what that look was like. I don't think it was an accusatory look. I don't think he was putting Peter down or making him feel worse than he already felt. I just think the look was, it's going to be all right. Now, you may say, Pastor, well, you have no evidence of that. I know. I don't have any evidence that the look was a reassuring look or it's going to be all right. But I do have evidence of this. Just like Peter denied him three times, the Lord restored him. At the end of John, in John 21, the Lord asked Peter three times, precisely, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. And then he stopped and paused and asked him again, Peter, do you really love me? Peter said, Lord, yeah, you know I love you. Then he asked him again, Peter, do you? I don't know this for a fact, but I think the Lord asked Peter three times, maybe because Peter had denied him three times. And the Lord just wanted to let him know, dude, I got you. It's going to be all right. You can be restored. Peter's failure was not fatal. Peter's failure was not permanent. God always is there to pick us up. I want to encourage you on Palm Sunday that we serve the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, 4,000 chances. God is always there to hear a repentant, this bitter crying that Peter went out just to me showed contrition. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. I believe that Peter was felt really bad about what he did, but I feel that the Lord felt even stronger about, I'm going to restore you. I prayed for you, Peter, that when the devil would try to sift you, that I will be there for you, in other words. So I want to encourage you. You may stumble, you may slip, you may fall, you may feel like you're an epic fail sometimes when it comes to serving God and pleasing him. But I want you to know that God will forgive us and God will restore us. And he is there for us and he knows what we're going to do. And he still chooses to love us. He still chooses to forgive us. May Palm Sunday this year, may Palm Sunday 26 be about restoration. Lord, restore me. Lord, bring me back. Take me back, the song that Danny Bell Hall sang years ago that Andre Crouch wrote. Take me back, Lord, to the place where I first met you. Take me back to my beginnings. Take me back to my roots. I want this resurrection season to be a season where we all just think about, Lord, I want to get close to you. I want to get back to where I was in your fellowship all the time. Help me to get back to a place of intimacy with you. Help me to get back to a place of strength, of power with you. I don't want to always be feeling condemned and beaten up and convicted and overwhelmed and just full of anxiety. Lord, take me back. I want to look like my picture. I want to look like you. Amen. So in closing, listen, imagine Peter standing around the fire and these people. I always thought, you know, until I really started doing a deep dive on this, I always thought it was only one or two people that was accusing Peter. But it was at least three or more, because the Bible uses a plural pronoun, they, on the last accusation when Peter started cursing and swearing. These people recognized him. Let me just say this. Let me leave you with this. That was a good thing. They were saying to Peter, dude, you don't look like your picture. You don't look like your picture. You're doing all this cursing and swearing, but guess what? You still look like Jesus. You deny all these denials, but guess what? You still associate. You were with Jesus. And so Peter is saying, no, no. And he starts adding cursing and swear words. He said, no, you were with, and Peter, they continue to look at him. And they say, but even your accent. I looked the word up in Greek, the word voice, even the sound. The Greek word for that, I thought it was a very interesting iteration. It says that it means lalia, which stands for accent or speech or pattern. He was basically saying, even the pattern of your voice, even the way you talk, you sound like Jesus. Your accent, your dialect, your vocabulary, even though right now it ain't looking too good. But I know inside of there is Jesus. You've been with Jesus. Let me just assure you, you can't be with Jesus and people not know that there's a difference. You can't be with Jesus and there not be a change in your life. Amen. You can try to get out there and be going back and forth in the world and acting worldly and acting like a carnal Christian, but God knows who is his own. And when you have been with Jesus, people will know that. People will know that. Even if you're not looking like your picture at that moment, there's something inside of you that says, I've been with the Master. And I believe that there's this conviction, this calling to come back. This is not where we belong. Amen. So I can relate to Peter, and I pray that you can relate to him also, in that he recognized that this was not where he wanted to stay. And I'm encouraged that if the Lord can bring Peter back on a night like that, an early morning, he can do that for us. If Peter can deny Jesus three times in the space of a couple of hours, I know that we can do as better than that. And then God will restore us and keep us and bring us back. The God of redemption, the God of forgiveness, the God of restoration. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't it good to know? Amen. Our failures do not have to define us. Our failures are not final. It is not the last word. Thank God that even the thief on the cross that was mocking the Lord 3 hours earlier, maybe 4 hours earlier, maybe 6 hours earlier, because they were on the cross approximately 6 hours, even that thief found redemption. What a mighty God we serve. My uncle used to say, just one drop of Jesus' blood can cleanse and do so much. Just one drop of his blood, his precious blood. You know, next week we would normally be observing the Lord's table because it's the first Sunday. So we're going to postpone that because I want us to get back in our building when we observe the Lord's table. So on the 12th, we'll have communion. And I just want you to think about that song that Ella Beecham sings. I love it. Andre Crouch wrote it, the blood of Jesus, the blood that Jesus shed for me, and how it redeems us, and how it restores us, and how it purges us, and how it cleanses us. That blood, the price that he paid, it was so precious that even when we're at our lowest, lowest ebb, the Lord is willing to bring us back. Bring us back from the brink. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for this Palm Sunday service. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the songs of praise and worship. We thank you, Lord, just for this time of fellowship and time of worship before you, Lord. We ask that you receive our praises, and that all that we do and say and sing, that you would be glorified, Lord, and we, your people, would be edified as we worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Help us to do always those things that are pleasing in your sight. Help us to be sincere and repentant when we fail. Help us not to wallow in our sins and self-pity, but to stand up and come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. Please take me back. Please forgive me. Please restore me. And we know that you are faithful and just, according to 1 John 1:9, to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We glorify your name and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.